Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Alcova Mortgage is here for good. We are locally owned, value great communication, and are committed to our Covington community. Call Alcova Mortgage Covington at 540-962-7152 or visit AlcovaHighlands.com to get in touch for your mortgage lending needs.
Alcova Mortgage, NMLS ID 40508, NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, Equal Housing Lender. Terms and conditions apply. All loans subject to credit approval.
What up, though? Ball Hawk Show.
What up, though? Ball Hawk Show.
If you know, you know. If you know, you know. Bricklayers in ball shorts, coaching from the side of the ball court. If you know, you know. One stop like a Walmart. We got the tennis balls for the wrong sport. If you know, you know. If you know about the carport, the trapdoor supposed to be awkward. If you know, you know. That's the reason we ball for. Circle round twice for the encore. If you know, you know.
What up, though? Welcome to the Ball Hawk Show podcast. I'm your host, Amar Hawkins. Appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to the latest episode of the show. Today, we'll be recapping University of Virginia's latest game versus the Miami Hurricanes, which took place on October 29th. This is October 30th when it's being released and recorded. So salute to everybody for tapping in. And
unknown caller.
My bad. my phone hooked up to my Bluetooth. Because, you know, I got the music on deck. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Appreciate everybody for tapping in. Salute to the sponsors, Abra Insurance. Go to Abra Insurance for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance. The great people at Able. If you need an affordable policy, man, definitely go holler at the people at Able, AbraInsurance.net. Also, if you need a loan, got the holidays coming up. You just want to refinance, go to Alcova Mortgage. Visit AlcovaHighlands.com. The website is AlcovaHighlands.com. Tell them the Ball Hawk sent you. Proud sponsors of the Ball Hawk Show podcast right here on Believe Network. Also on Spotify and other podcast platforms. Just fixing my mic right quick. So, yeah, man. This is it, right? Got to recap this game that was difficult to watch yesterday. No touchdowns. No touchdowns were scored because the two-point conversion at the end felt like a touchdown, but it wasn't. So if this is your first time listening to the Ball Hawk Show podcast, I always let people know that, look, you know, we start off with a little walk-in music, like the ring music. You know, we about to get in the square circle, about to step on the field, about to step on the court, any sport analogy you want to use. But, you know, music gets my juices flowing. And it might not be the type of music that you like. So I always say, like, when you see that I'm about to transition to the music portion of the beginning of this podcast, fast forward roughly 5 to 6 minutes if you don't want to hear the music. And I'm cool with that. That's more for me to make sure my product is like that, because the music sets me off. It gets me right. You'll hear my alter ego, Petty Hawk, come out. And folks like to say that's the non-rose-colored version of myself. A lot of people like to call me a homer. I'm just a positive dude because I know how it is. Like, it's easy to be negative. I feel like it's more challenging and more true to see the good versus always trying to point to the bad. Even though bad is there, that's just not the mindset that I'm in. Like, I could be super negative, but I feel bad now. I got too much of a conscience now. So Petty Hawk is like that side of me that don't care. Petty Hawk is the side that might use profanity, but not when I'm recapping UVA sports. If you ever hear me talking professional football, professional basketball, then it'll be some vulgar language because, you know, I am 43 years old. I do curse. But not on this platform. I like to be respectful when I'm talking UVA sports because it's student athletes. So with that being said, man, let's go ahead and jump right into it. This is the walk up segment. Then we'll jump into the stats aspect, and then you get to my analysis. And that'll be the podcast episode. But yeah, here we go. Let's get our mind right, man. As you can see, man, I'm still like in my feelings about yesterday. I was about to give myself another 24 hours, but then it's like I got things to do Monday with my daughter and my kids and stuff. So I was like, I ain't want to cheat, you know. Oh, I got to go do a podcast. Nah, I'm going to do it today. And if a part of me come out that might be disrespectful, it is what it is. I'm human. I fall short. My bad. But here we go, man. Let's start it out right with my favorite artist ever, Tupac.
Shall not fear no man but God, though I walk through the valley of death.
I should die before I wake.
Please, God, walk with me
and take me to heaven.
Back in elementary, thrived on misery. Left me alone, I grew up amongst a dying breed. Inside my mind, couldn't find a place to rest until I got that thug life tatted on my chest. Tell me, can you feel me? I'm not living in the past, you wanna last. Be the first to blast, remember Cato. No longer with us, see deceits. Call on the sirens, seen them murdered in the streets. Now rest in peace, is there heaven for a G? Remember me, so many homies in the cemetery shed so many tears. I suffered through the years and shed so many tears.
And we're gonna switch it up a little bit, switch it up to the new breed, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Meek Mill, the old Biggie.
You know what free is?
In the background. What's free?
What's free? Free is when nobody else can tell us what to be. Free is when the TV ain't controlling what we see. Told my n***a I need you. Through all the fame, you know I stay true. Pray my n***a stay free. Made a few mistakes, but this ain't where I wanna be. Before I'm judged by 12, put a 12 on my feet. Told my n***a I need you. Stay up, I know these times ain't true. Real life, what's
since
free?
Since the lad I was cunning, just got a pad out in London. I keep stacking my money, I need a ladder by summer. 8K shots, ducking straight shots. Been a top dog, that's before the K-Dots. Cracking an 06, immaculate showmanship. Talking like you Mitch, disastrous on the strip. Holding on your bitch, could've never sold you a brick. With them people, you never been on the list. Mona Lisa to me ain't nothing but a bitch. Hanging pictures like swinging from his dick. We so different, you thought these didn't exist. The Megalodon, never seen on his wrist. I'm from the South where they never make it this rich. God is the greatest, but Satan been on his shit. Walking the pavement, I pray I'm illuminated. Over a decade and never nobody's favorite. Pot and kilo go hand in hand like we gambling huff. My amigo, 1 million grams when we count them enough.
Ho, ho, ho. Ball Hawk, what we doing, man? What we doing? You over here sounding all sad and somber. I'm going to start with my favorite artist, Tupac. Man, look, ladies and gentlemen, UVA fans, fans of the Ball Hawk Show, first listeners of the Ball Hawk Show, this is Petty Hawk. This is the explosive personality side of him that he don't like to come out no more. What type of mood are we? Like, come on, man. We not out there in the field. Why are you sad? You don't play no more. Oh, we get it. You play here. You don't play no more. I bet you we was with the ACC Network, ESPN, or reporting on another college or recapping two other teams that we didn't play for, I bet you we wouldn't be so sad. We'd be up here grooving, having a good old time. You know what I'm saying? Listening to uplifting, you know, dance music. You like so many tears. Now what's free? Like, come on, man. Come on. But matter of fact, let me change the song. This is my request right here. Let's get our minds right. Let me listen to some Nas. Let's go. Come on, Ball. Get that real music in here, man. Come on. I don't know what you listen to. Let's go. Here we go.
You could die young out here. Mess around and die before 21 out here. Mama stressing, seen them ratchets in the dresses. She not asking questions, she seen the vests and seen other kids in the casket resting. So loud it got surround sound. Smoking good, cause they trying to take me back to some hood. Any club, any fly fair, if they start shooting, all they remember is Nas was there. Switch. Some homies of yours.
Switch. Shout out to Prolific Run Crew, man. This is how we're going to start the podcast. This is how we really start the podcast off. Ball Hawk back. Let's go, man. Right, now I'm in my bag. You done woke me up, Patty Hawk. We about to really get active right now. Let's go. Come on. I want you to sing along with this one if you're listening. Let's go.
I'm prolific, so gifted. I'm the type that's going to go get it. No kidding. Breaking down a switch in front of your building.
Let's go.
Sitting on the steps, feeling no feelings.
Yeah.
Last night it was a cold killer.
Cold killer.
You gotta keep the devil in his hold. But you know how it goes.
You know how it goes.
I'm front line every time it's sold. 100 proof flow.
Yo.
Running shoot pro.
Yo.
458 drop. Playing bulletproof soul. Every few shows, I just buy some new gold. Circle got smaller, everybody can't go. Downtown Diamond District, jewelers like yo. Hustle, holla at me, I got Cubans on the low.
Yeah.
Through the Cancun, smoking Cubans on the boat. And dock that Tulum just to smoke. Look, listening to music at the Mayan ruins. True devotion on the bluest ocean.
Ooh, hey, how can you not get in? Shout out to Nipsey Hussle, man. Shout out to Nipsey. Let's go. Shout out. Thank you, Petty Hawk. You woke me up. I appreciate you. You woke me. I know I woke you up because I'm woke. Because if you weren't going to be woke, we was going to stay woke. That's a bar. So let's jump right into it, man. UVA versus Miami. No touchdowns. The game was some trash can juice. 14-12. I said before the game, if we kept Miami's offense under 20 points, all praises due to Allah and the defense. You hold this mind. And people can say, well, it was a backup quarterback, it's Garcia. Don't give me that, because a backup quarterback lit our ass up the last time we was at Scott Stadium in Louisville. So you can't have that stance if you're going to say it was a backup quarterback. This same backup quarterback was completing deep balls versus Duke. Like, this same backup quarterback was a four-star that was supposed to go, to USC? Like, this is the same guy. So I don't want to hear that, oh, it's a backup quarterback. Give our defense their damn just due. Don't be a negative Nancy where everything, you got to question everything. All right? I know I'm getting ahead of myself. Attendance yesterday was 43,000 people in that stadium. Man, clap it up for that. Salute to the 43,714 people that was in attendance yesterday, because I didn't think it was that many people there. But serve me Shut the Hell Up Juice, and I'm happy to sip on Shut the Hell Up Juice when it comes to it. To appreciate the 43,714 people there, I feel bad there were no goddamn touchdowns, though. Especially for my offense. We're going to talk about that later. Well, Petty Hawk said he going to talk about that. 43,000 people there. The game took 4 hours. 4 hours of no touchdowns. Individual team stats. 17 first downs for Miami. 14 first downs for UVA. Rushing yards. Miami had 147 rushing yards as a team. UVA had 119 rushing yards as a team. Miami ran the ball 38 times, averaged 3.9 yards per carry. UVA ran the ball 33 times for 3.6 yards per carry. Miami had 125 yards passing on 32 attempts. UVA had 208 yards passing on 26 attempts. UVA threw the ball 26 times. You know what? Petty Hawk, all right, go ahead and talk Petty Hawk. You know one thing I don't understand, or you know one thing I like to say to everybody, even to us, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. All people talked about was, man, we need to run the ball more. We throwing the ball too much. Hey, Dr. Bob, run the ball. We got to run. Then when Coach Kitchens got here, we're going to be balanced. Oh, my God, no, don't run the ball too much. No. We threw the ball 26 times. And ran it 33 times. Now, I get it, scrambles count as rushes. But 26 pass attempts. I don't want to see that, me personally. I need to see 30. At least 35 with Brennan. I know. Excuse me if you came here for numbers, but damn it, I can't read the numbers no more. I'm getting right to it. I gotta take a deep breath. Gotta collect my thoughts. No, you don't. You don't gotta collect no thoughts. The thoughts is there. Why are you trying to be like political and all that stuff, man? This your podcast. This your platform. So what if you say something, somebody take it to heart? They're competitors. Why you getting mad? Why they gonna get mad at you for being honest? Like, you done it before. But you gotta speak right though, Petty Hawk. Like, you people get offended. You know, man. Forget they offensive, sensitive feelings. That's what's wrong with the world today. Matter of fact, let me do this today. Let me tell y'all something, okay? It's Petty Hawk talking. Told y'all, I'm running this for a little bit. Disclaimer. If you sensitive, hit stop. I give you a couple seconds. Three of them. If you sensitive, you should have hit stop, because we about to really have a come to, like, we take you behind the curtains of what a player meeting sounds like. Okay? You know, like, what we saw yesterday was bad on all accounts. If you a true competitor, and what Ball Hawk, what you like to say, Ball Hawk? Be great. Yeah, if you trying to be great, then you want to listen to this. And this should not hurt your damn feelings. This ain't a podcast episode to coddle anybody. Damn, this coddle stuff. Coddling, canceling, all these C's. People want to cancel you just because you think strongly of this. People want to cancel you just because you got a different thought process. People want to ask you a question, and then when you give them the answer, they don't like the answer, so they say it's a damn excuse. Nah, we about to give you our full truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Y'all ready? Here we go. First, defense. Phenomenal. Coming into the season, the defense, trash can juice, running that 3-3-5. Oh, look, hey, our defense isn't working. We're going to go take somebody else's defense, and we're just going to plug it in, and it stinks. That was last year. So this year, Coach Rudd came from the Air Force, had his own 3-4 scheme, had some talent coming in with Chico getting healthy, got Aaron Famui in shape and healthy, Carter, the juggernaut, was still here. Petty Hawk, I could take over now, bro. All right. Because I'm actually tired of doing your voice. So I ain't doing Petty Hawk voice anymore. I'm getting tired doing his voice. Take a lot of energy to do his voice. So we just going to be candid right now. So you got Chico getting healthy. You got Aaron Famui returning to be in shape. You know, he came off the COVID year. He wasn't in the best shape. You got the juggernaut, Jameer Carr, not having a two gap all the time in this scheme. And Cam Butler coming over was productive in his own right. So even though folks saw that the defense was bad last year, coming to this year, as far as schematically, a lot didn't change for those guys. Because people want to compare, you know, like the offense and the defense and the talent. Like, when you look at the offense, the talent was the skill guys, the quarterback, the receivers that were proven talent guys, and then everybody understands how talented Mike Hollins is as far as, like, his attributes and the glimpse he's shown since he's been here. But every, you know, last year Fentrell struggled. Last year Anthony Johnson was just a beast, period. Clary was banged up. Cohen was left out to dry a lot in that scheme last year, but we know Cohen around the ball, I mean around the line of scrimmage, would thump anybody. We knew what Nick Jackson could do, you know, top flight linebacker. The question mark was like, how would Ahearn, you know, factor in, and how would Jay Jackson factor in? We knew his upside was very high. So when you look at the transition the defense had to make, because people always say, well, we couldn't get any worse. I hate when people say that. It could always get worse. In sports, it could always get worse. Believe me. Stop. Y'all got to stop just thinking that. It could get worse. But Rudd came in with his scheme, his terminology, his assistants with their teachings. And it was some things that the defensive guys had to change in order to fit this scheme. Because people, when they talk about the offense, it's like, then what they should have did is you can't just try to just change something that was already working. When it comes to schemes and systems and football, everybody has a scheme or system that they have mastered that they can teach. And then when they're in the game, they can make adjustments according to that scheme that they've mastered. You know, I want everybody to share this damn podcast, this episode right here. Please share it. Share this one, because I am sick and tired and I'm getting exhausted explaining to folks. You just can't run a previous coach's scheme. You can't. You just can't go to a damn camp for a couple of months and say, ooh, we're going to run this now. Ooh, I got something. It don't work like that. You master your playbook. You master your scheme. You could throw a couple wrinkles in there. You could try to adjust your scheme to like run the plays that best fit the skill set of a quarterback or a running back you have or the lineman. Like you try to adjust and maneuver the best way you can. Basically, you try to stop the bleeding. But at the end of the day, the wound is still going to be there until you get a better Band-Aid, a better bandage when it comes to like recruiting. You feel me? It's no different than when Bronco came here and we lost the opening game to Richmond and was getting our head beat in and we was 2-10 and people forget that and everybody keeps saying, I keep ruining last time. We looked this bad. Newsflash, when Bronco first got here, your ass ain't forgot that quick. I know you ain't. Stop being facetious and try to pile on and Hulk Hogan leg drop these coaches and players while they down. And like you got amnesia, you got the greatest memory ever. Because anytime somebody say, well, so-and-so is good, you'll give me a player for the 1985s who was good. But you can't remember the last time UVA played a game like this. Are you serious? How? How you forget that quick? What's next on my checklist? I can't give y'all no look. So the defense playing superb football. Shout out to Coach Rudd, always transparent, man, of just wanting to continue to get better. Shout out to Antonio Clary for his comments after the game that they don't look at the offense and get discouraged and want to point the finger like y'all do in the damn stands or at home on your damn couch. Everybody don't point the finger, bruh. Sorry. You try to stay a fist. We all trying to have to perfect our craft, and we know in this game of football, some days the defense going to carry the offense, sometimes the offense going to carry the defense, sometimes the defense going to bail the offense out, sometimes the offense going to bail the defense out. But we lost, and everybody wanting to point the finger. Now y'all want to fire Coach Kitchen. Now y'all want Coach Elliott to call the plays. Like it's no patience in the world, period. There really isn't. People get on me, oh, you always want to stay patient. You damn right I'm patient with you. You feel me? If I'm Because I ain't trying to make this a rant. I'm really trying to just have a talk with you. Like, we right now, we in the meeting room together. We really breaking bread. Some of the things I say you're not going to like, and that's fine. Some of the things I like, you may love. Some of the things I like is going to go against your beliefs. But at the end of the day, we providing opinions. Nothing I'm providing you, I'm considering a fact. Or, oh, I'm an expert. It got to be right. Nope. All I did was hit record on this Rode Pro, this Rodecaster Pro. I hit record. I got my SD card in there. I got my mic. Salute the Rode for the mic, the pod mic. And I shared my opinions. And I uploaded to Bleed Network. Because I like to make sure I clarify, like, nobody's on a goddamn high horse. I don't look down on nobody. Because I see certain comments people make about me, and it get me tight because I try to make sure I'm respectful to folks. I really do, man. And I get tight over there because some people just feel like, I'm going to put it to you like this. I don't give a damn how successful I am in my life, how elevated I am in my life. I'm going to always be down to earth and always be like, you just ain't going to talk to me like that. You're just not going to talk about me like that. And we got to stop thinking just because somebody's supposed to be on the elevated platform, oh, I expect more from you. No, you expect me to address you if I feel like you out of pocket. And the one thing I don't do, though, I ain't going to say names. See, if I really wanted to be an a-hole and a prick like a lot of y'all claim I am, I would say your name. I could say your name on this microphone. Now, that's a fact. If I was really a prick, I could say your username, your government name, because it's easy to find whose government name is behind a username. I could find your Facebook. And I could really show you how much of a prick. Let's get back to the team. I got sidetracked. So when it comes to the team, man, defense, salute to you. I don't want to make it a disservice because it seems like I never really break down what the defense does, but you see what they do. They make adjustments. They could get home with four. They could play cloud. They could play short zone. They could play cover two. They could play cover four. They could lock up and play man to man. If somebody completes a deep pass on them, they make the immediate adjustment. Salute to those coaches. Salute to those players and the work that they put in, because it's showing. One of the best pass rushing defenses in the ACC. One of the best secondaries in the ACC in its totality. When you look at PFF, Anthony Johnson and Fentress Cypress, they're listed. They're like one of the best duos in the country. They just play. And let me talk about Gucci, man, Anthony Johnson. Y'all know I think highly of him. We speak a lot. Seeing the emotions come out with him yesterday at the end of the game, like, shedding tears, cleansing the soul, because there's nothing wrong with crying. Because I'd rather you cry and cleanse your soul versus keep that in there and have an Arthur fist and throw punches and do something violent that you could regret later. You should never regret crying. That's a beautiful thing. That lets you know how much they, like a player, puts into this game. And I think that never leaves me, because I admit this, I get super defensive when somebody just vehemently diss a player that's out there trying to do their damn best. Like, trying to give you their all. They really are trying to give you their all. I can't speak for every position. I can speak for the two positions I play. Cornerback and receiver. That kid, man, when I tell you he a phenomenal human being, man, as far as like the work he put in. And I ain't gonna tell you too many secrets about him, because I hold those conversations close to my heart. But if you could understand the reason why I'm so happy for him, even though we're losing, but for him personally, but just to see him after the game, how he, his outlook on just the team. Like, when I go to praise him about how he played, he's more focused on just the team. He's frustrated about how they could do more just to even help the offense as a defense. Like, think about that, bro. This is back-to-back games in which the defense has not allowed a touchdown. And this dude is still trying to figure out how they can better help the offense. Like, you speak to any defender, and that's coming from the head man. Coach Rudd has the same stance. Like, they're trying to do more to help the offense. How can I generate an extra possession for this offense? How can I provide better field position for the offense? Because a lot of times folks want the defensive guys to be like, God damn, what the hell, man? Offense, get your S-I-S-H-I-T together. No, they ain't like that. They not. Because I know last year, it was the flip side, right? The offense scoring 35, 400 yards, 500 yards. Come on, defense, you guys got to help us out. That's what everybody was saying. Now it's like the shoe on the other foot. But that's going to transition to the offense, right? So what's going on with the offense? Preferably the skill guys. Because when we came into this season, the question mark was the five guys up front. Right? There was no question marks on the outside. No question mark with the signal caller. Everybody happy that Brendan Armstrong is back. I'm still elated he came back. And he could come back another year. Brendan, we're going to talk. You might have to come back. Ain't no Mike. Come back another year, bro. I ain't trying to see you go out like this. Because even we ran the table, we lose one more than run the table, or we beat Tech at the end of the year, it don't matter. If you could come back another year, come back another year. We could make sure these big time local companies give you some NIL money. That's what you might, and that's a good, go sidetrack, sidebar. That's the good thing about the NIL. A lot of dudes ain't just going to be going to the league. You could play one more year. Hey, ain't that what people want? Don't we want student athletes? Because that's the word we give players, student athletes. Everybody just students. When you think about it. You really student, you going to school, you just happen to play a sport as well. But that's the good thing about NIL. You ain't got to run and leave school early, right? Because people always get mad at the athlete when they leave early, correct? Correct? If you want them folks that mad that people always leave early, yeah, get you a degree, why not stay and get a master's? Why not? Hell, you might, with the COVID year, y'all might get PhDs when y'all leave now. You've been in school so long. And ain't a bad thing. Can you imagine you got a PhD off Grand Aid? That's a blessing. First of all, getting just a 4-year degree off Grand Aid is a blessing. Then getting a master's off of Grand Aid is a true blessing. Now you can possibly have a PhD. That's a blessing. Anyway, with the offense, because this has been asked of me to discuss in a lot. So, again, if you were a person that wanted to hear stats today, I apologize. This ain't the podcast episode. If you came here to hear a rant, this is probably the episode for you. If you came here to really break bread and talk, this definitely the episode for you. Because I'm about to lean back in my chin, have my mic right close to my chin. Here we go. So, offensively, first play of the game. Everybody excited about the first play of the game because we know we're going to take a shot. Inside info. I knew what the first play was going to be. I'm beside my man Darius Jennings on the sideline. Salute the DJ. First play of the game. First time we get the ball because they got the ball first. We got to stop. Our first offensive possession, that first play. As soon as they break the huddle, me and DJ looking at each other like, oh, yeah, they're in the coverage we thought. We get the motion. Oh, yeah. They responded just like we thought. And they pressed up on Wicks. All right, Wicks, just win. Just go. Hey, just beat the jam. Wicks beat the jam. We got a touchdown. Snap of the ball. Wicks beat the jam. We like, uh-oh. Nice play action. Get Brendan out the pocket, which most of his big throws been moving out the pocket to his left. Brendan got a nice little pocket, steps into the throw, and that mamma jamma ball just took off out of his hand. I said, good God, is Wicks D'Amique or something? Because he not going to get to that. Overthrow. Brendan feels terrible about that. He wanted that throw. So after that first down, we like, all right, let's try to get at least some positive yards. Run the inside zone, and when I tell you that D tackle shot inside and destroyed our guard like he wasn't even there, and threw Polo Paris all the way to the sideline, damn near. Then third down, we run a it was a design quarterback run. It's like the quarterback draw we used to run with B Perk. And he got a first down, right? Yeah, we got a first down. But how the game started, the first play of the game is a true illustration of our season. It really is. It's been a struggle. A lot of unexpected events. That first play illustrated our season. Everything can go right, but then end up wrong. That's been our season. And nobody is preparing for everything to go wrong. We come into this season, you got a dynamic offensive group that set up record-breaking numbers in a different scheme. You get a guy, Coach Elliott, who's Coach Sunshine, Coach Deshaun Watson, Coach Mike Williams, Coach all these great receivers at Clemson, nice backs. So it was like, okay, he coming in. You already got the outside guys. But in football, up front is important. And I ain't even putting all the blame on the offensive line because, like I was telling somebody yesterday, like, I got to sit back and be a true realist. As average as – you could say the offensive line is average, right? You could say we know there wasn't like Olu and those guys from last year. So you could say, okay, offensive line, it was a drop-off. You got it. Is it a challenge to make sure Brennan stays upright and clean on a consistent basis? Yes. But you got to hold yourself accountable when it comes to nobody expected that our receivers would struggle catching the ball. And this ain't got nothing to do with Coach Hagans. This ain't got nothing to do with Coach Kitchens. This ain't got nothing to do with Coach Elliott. As much as we try to say, oh, the scheme, oh, because somebody asked, like, you know, if Coach Hagans being associate head coach, is that taking away from his ability to teach the receivers the art form of catching the ball? Because, like, people feel like since it's a new system and since the past couple of years, we never struggled catching the football. Here's the thing. Brendan throwing the ball the same. Now, has he been less accurate? Yes. But I can only, like, give you my full transparency proof feedback when it comes to wide receiver, because I play wide receiver. I drop passes. Like, I tell the story all the time. People don't realize, like, this lets you know how the brain truly works or how history works. I like to make sure I remember every damn thing. That's like, when I view life or the games, I make sure I try to remember everything and have my timeline in order so I can appreciate somebody's growth, appreciate somebody coming through a storm, just appreciate them in general. People remember me for 98, that one play versus Tech. People forget the week before, I dropped a touchdown pass versus UNC, wide open. In the corner of the end zone, by the hill, going towards the clock tower, that corner of the end zone. In the back of the end zone, bucket naked open. The ball patted me down like I had a firearm going through the airport. Nobody talked about that. Because people be like, hey, Hulk, they need you in the field. They dropped a lot of passes. I'm like, hey, hello. I dropped my fair share here, too. I can remember 1999, first play of the game versus NC State. I get off a press, drop a bomb. Yeah, I dropped two deep balls that game. The list goes on and on how many times I dropped passes here at UVA. But people remember the Tech one. And I'm like, bro, so when it comes to catching the ball, I know firsthand, there ain't nothing Coach Powell, shout out to Coach Powell who's at Pitt right now. There is nothing Andre Powell could have done as my receiver coach with me to help me better catch the football in a game. Nothing. Catching the football is on the individual. I could provide you all the tools to be great, but you still have to utilize and use the tools in certain situations. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's still on these players. And it's not a knock on them because, again, I'm showing you my short, like, my failures first so they won't think that, oh, fool, you think you better. No, I ain't better than them. They better than me, all of them. Look at what they did in their career compared to mine. They all more successful than me, all of them. But I know how I feel to be one of them, of when the ball come to you and you know you've been struggling, how you, like, just think about just catching the ball. Like when LaVell caught the deep ball and then he falls down. I know that feeling. Because all you got to, you want to make sure you just catch the ball. It's like you go to just catching the ball versus making the play. Like when you're confident, you make plays. When you lack, when you're not as confident, because I don't want to say they lack confidence. When you're not as confident, you just catch it. Like the ball was like a punt. It was grossly underthrown because even a quarterback who overthrew somebody by a mile early, when Coach Kitchen draws up another play and you get two DBs to collide because you understood what it was going to do with formation and the motion and you get what you want, and Brendan, who just missed a deep ball early in the game, has another guy that's bucking naked open, what did he do? He threw a punt. He wanted to make sure that it was completed, and it was completed. And LaVell, who dropped the touchdown pass the week before versus Georgia Tech, wanted to make sure he caught the ball. And he caught it. Then he turned and he fell. But at the end of the day, he caught the ball. But if this was last year, he would have made a play because he would have scored. So it's steps you got to take. If you've been struggling, you're not going to go from struggle to being your old self again. You're going to struggle, start to do little things to work out that struggle, and then boom, you'll see avenge yourself. So when it comes to the drop balls, a lot of people want to blame the scheme, right? How can a scheme have you dropping balls? Think about that. How can a scheme have you dropping passes? I went from Sparky Woods to Coach Trankel. That those changes in their offense and what they required me and the type of routes they required me to run did not cause me to drop the damn ball. Especially when I got plenty of time to work on my craft on my own. And they putting in the time. But it's the difference between practice and the game. And I don't mean, and that's the great thing about being a performer. It's a thing called consistency. When you show your true potential, you got to put responsibility on that potential. And when expectations are placed onto you, how are you going to respond to those expectations? So when you look at all these individuals who were superb last year, different expectations were set on to them. Brendan went from a guy that people consider just an average quarterback to this phenomenon last year that this ACC conference had never seen as far as total yards a game or things of that nature. So coming to this year, a guy that was about to go pro and then came back, the expectation of him doing what he did last year was placed onto him. So mentally, how would he handle that? And I told y'all that. How is he going to handle that expectation? Wicks came out of nowhere. It was LaVell Davis, and LaVell hurt his knee. Then it was like, who gonna replace LaVell? We don't know what Wicks can do. We done seen flashes versus Liberty a couple years ago. Then Wick come in, break the school record for yards in the season. It's phenomenal last year. What happened? Phenomenal expectations announced placed on him. You gotta, now that's your bar. You gotta live up to that. Every defense know that you coming. Every top DB want to make a name off you. Every defense going to roll their coverage to you. So those windows you had last year won't exist this year. How are you going to respond to all those things? Now, Lavelle, you are back. We expect damn near 30 yards of catch like you did 2 years ago. You 6'7". Your expectation is that. Coming off of ACL, we want that guy. KT, oh, you sold last year. You're a receiver. So we know what we can do with you now. You're a full-fledged receiver now. So teams know 99 is a full-fledged receiver. That's the expectation that's placed onto you. How are you going to respond to that? The only guy that ain't really showed if he can catch on a consistent basis because he's been battling injury or they really ain't gave him the ball, which was the Illinois game, which is the one game I attached to Coach Kitchens that I was like, yo, the play calling should have been for four. It's four, Billy Kemp. I tell you what, yesterday, both his the two catches he made in the second half, or was the second half? Well, the two catches he made across the middle, because I know they did the under the formation routes for him. But the two over the middle catches he had yesterday were making plays. See, when he was like, and even KT, to his credit, KT is attacking the ball to make a play too. I can understand if Wicks is just sometimes catching the ball and falling. He's been going through storms. KT, for the most part, been making jumping, making one-hand catches and difficult things. Like, there is no rhyme or reason to why they're dropping the ball is what I want to tell y'all. You can't point to something. When I was dropping balls, I couldn't tell you why I was dropping the ball. It was just happening. Why do we, as humans, feel like this? I can always pinpoint a reason of why somebody is successful, why they're not successful, versus just realizing you ain't God. I know we watch films and we pinpoint things. Like, I can give you my synopsis of why we lost the game. Like, it's an accumulation of things of why we lost the game. Like, the plays that were made. Because sometimes the defense will make a play. And you tip. And I always tell people, oh, I'll just tip my hat to them. They're good. Oh, no, ball hawk. If we would have did this, if we would have did that, I'm saying to myself, but the opponent affects that. Like, you give them credit. Like, they front, like Miami front line was whooping our offensive line hind parts. And it's a couple. I ain't going to say no names, but it was one offensive lineman yesterday. He probably was happy the game was over because they was going at him. I know they were saying he was a mark. But just the previous game, the same lineman played a good game versus Georgia Tech. The line as a unit played a very good game versus Georgia Tech. But the last two home games, the offensive line ain't look good. That's a challenge to them. That they got to look themselves in the mirror, and as a unit, they got to be better. You have to be better. There is nowhere in the world we can't get 2 yards or 3 yards in the red zone. Now, Let's get to that. That's because people want to talk about. So we're gonna really dive into, because people want Kitchens to be fired and they question play calls. So let's dive into the red zone calls. You feel me? So Lavelle makes his catch, falls at the 2-yard line. We run to the line. We get up to the line of scrimmage. We send KT jet motion. We do a little flip to him. Again, their one technique defensive tackle destroys the play. He gets a great jump, pushes right through our center, who's, I guess, supposed to reach him and couldn't reach him because he got a good jump off the ball. I'm glad KT held onto the ball. So that was like a 3-yard loss. What was the next play? Second down. I need to get my phone. I can't think of the second play. I know all three plays when Mike Hollins had his, but what was the second play? Crap. Hold on. Y'all got to bear with me. I'm going to pull it up. Pull up the film on my phone. I'm going to talk to y'all in real time. Give me a minute. It's not uploading fast enough. I know y'all probably screaming at the phone. We did the KT play. Did we try to throw the ball? I think Brennan ended up scrambling. Yeah, Brennan ended up scrambling. We tried to throw the ball. I'm still not looking at the video, but I think he ended up scrambling, getting like 3 or 4 yards back. And then third down. What did we do on third down? All right, I think I got it up now. Pardon me. All right. What play was the big play to? No. Dang it. I'm mad at myself, man. I just went blank. And now it's like a lot of dead area right now. Cause that was in the second half, all right, because I'm in the first half right now. But like with the play calling in the red zone, I understood. So the old school adage is like, when we get in the red zone, why don't you get under center? Right? Like everybody agree that's what we want. Like get under center and try to play power football. And I'm with y'all on that. I'm in agreement with that. But at the same time, we saw like the past two games, power football ain't been our friend. Like running right up the A gaps and the B gaps. I think I got the play up. All right, here we go. So yeah, I got LaVale's play. All right. Come on, film. All right, here we go. So, yeah, the first play to Keaton, we at the 3-yard line. Defensive tackle comes inside. I don't know if the guard could have, like, chipped him in a sense of, like, punching him with his left hand or not. But that D tackle destroyed this play. I mean, he destroyed it. He almost got to the ball before KT did. Good thing KT strong. Tried to spin off. And then took the lost yard. So now we at the 10-yard line. So we lose 7 yards. We in trips. Nobody's open. We try to run a shield play to Wicks. And they did a good job of passing it off. Number 40, the inside backer, would have hit him in the ear hole if Brennan would have threw this ball. So it's a good thing Brennan didn't throw this pass to Wicks. He would have went night-night. Yeah, he would have went night-night. We try to run like a little Dino route with KT. Safety did a good 24. Number 24 did a good job of playing in between because they were playing zone. In a sense, it looked like they was playing matchup zone because the corner sloughed all the way off. So Brennan scrambled up the field, ends up getting a yard. Then third down, same trips formation. This looks like a quarterback draw. It looked like we tried to copy what Duke did versus Miami. When Duke were down here, they were running their quarterback. Yeah, this looks like a quarterback draw because Paris, when he releases from the backfield, he don't even look back for the ball. He's looking up. Never mind. I think this was a pass because Paris ended up looking back. Looked like he's trying to find an opener. But nobody's open. The route combinations, they ran the same coverage again. They just dropped everybody. They rush three with a spy. So they have more in coverage than we had available. So that's what we kicked the field goal. So with Mike Hollins' big play, because somebody asked me, like, why didn't we put Mike Hollins back in when he got us down there? So Mike Hollins has the big play. He's winded because I was right there in the end zone, which he dove into. He was very winded. He came out the game. He was elated that he made a big play. We brought in Xavier Brown. We tried the inside power with Xavier. And when I tell you that play got destroyed, it got destroyed. And that was actually a linebacker that I don't know how he sniffed that play out. But he was hungry the way he sniffed that play out. Like, he was like a bloodhound. So that play gets blown up. And let's look at it together. I'm going to bring it up right now. So we a bunch set. We got KT with a short motion. So it gets everybody in flow to the field because they thinking we're going to run a little disperse to the field. And kudos to number 40. But he shoots the A-gap. Then the next play, we got Wicks reduced split. Well, it's double reduced splits. So it gives us appearance like we're going to run a fade or something. We run our fake quick toss and we do a shovel pass to KT. I like that play design, but they sniffed it out. We get all the way, what, to like the 2-yard line on that. Then we go unbalanced line, the same offense set we ran versus Syracuse. You remember the Syracuse when KT scored on the sweep. So you basically got the tight end on the left side. Then you got 6 blockers on the right side. So we unbalance. Dontavian's off the ball because the tight end's to the left. Snap of the ball, quick pitch to KT like we did versus Syracuse, and it's a jump pass. And lo and behold, the guy who was fooled by Grant doing his block down release, 24, the safety, somehow jumps and gets his hand up. And he's fighting through a cut block. He jumps and bats it down. And I actually like that play call because it's deception, because everybody sold out to get KT. But the one guy that just was like, uh-oh, hold on. Is he throwing it? And just jumped up and batted it down. Everybody sold out to get KT, just like you want it. So that's batted down. So we go for it on fourth down. And before the play, I was like, man, we need to take the field goal. We ain't good enough to be going for it on fourth down. We got a bunch set. KT with the short motion. He comes back. Runs a flat route, what you expect out of tight trips. We got a mesh route by Lavelle. We got a deep dig in the back of the end zone by Wicks. But we got a Y shallow by Grant coming across from where the twins left, and everybody loses him. He's wide open. Brendan does a good job of sliding the pocket. Offensive line did a good job of protection. Now, granted, they only sent 3 with a spy. They actually got 2 spies on Brennan. Brennan goes through his progressions. You see his helmet go left to right, back to left. He finds Grant. He just dropped the ball. So right there, I don't like. That's a good sequence of plays right there. That's causing the defense to have to adjust and make, like, in that instance right here, everything I just shared with you. That was the first two. The last one, when Billy Kemp got us down there, Coach Kitchens took responsibility for that last inside the 10 visit that we had. In the press conference, I know we were talking to Jay James. He took responsibility for that. He felt like he should have called a timeout on one of the plays. I think the play to Paris Jones, he should have called a timeout. So he took responsibility for that play. But I guess what I'm getting to is I think the human reaction, the easiest thing for us to do is to always say, fire somebody or make a change. Every time something is not going right, the first human reaction is, oh, you got to make a change. Oh, you got to make a change. You really don't. Hear me out when I say that. A lot of the great individuals that we appreciate, if change were made, we would never found out about them. All the folks we love to elevate to a certain level, they went through storms and they stuck it out and they continued to fight. But a lot of times the human reaction is, oh, you got to make a change. Like people now with Brandon, oh, you got to, oh, put Jay in the game. Put Jay in the game. Put Jay in the game. Like, we don't need, like, so yes, Brandon has struggled with his accuracy and stuff, but there's no knock on Jay. The backup quarterback is always the most popular player on the football field. When things not going right, the backup quarterback is what everybody want to see. Y'all remember when Brandon, not Brandon, you remember when Kurt Benkert was a starter? And versus Indiana, that second game, everybody wanted, what's my buddy that went to Woodbury Forest? Everybody wanted him to be the starter. Then when he became the starter, when Brandon got knocked out versus NC State a couple years ago, the COVID year, nobody wanted him to be the starter no more. When he became the starter. Y'all remember that? Because Brandon got knocked out the game. And then we end up using three quarterbacks the very next game versus when we played Wake Forest. Because KT was playing the other young quarterback we had that transferred away now. So we was using three different quarterbacks. Y'all remember that? I remember when Perk was here. When Perk had his struggles, people wanted Brandon to start. I remember that. I really do. When Perk had some struggles, you know, we didn't do nothing against Miami, and then Louisville game we struggled, and then this is 2019, and then even versus ODU, especially when we was going through that storm when we lost to Miami, then we lost to Louisville on the road, because like we really didn't do nothing. So Bryce Hall got hurt versus Miami, then we played Louisville, didn't do good, and it started raining late. And then we played Duke, in which the defense caused a lot of turnovers, but we really didn't score to our liking. And we had North Carolina up next. And B. Perk reminded folks how special he really was and got the offense going, because we knew the defense couldn't stop that juggernaut offense in North Carolina. So that's why I always tell folks, like, I always say, oh, man, you might as well put so-and-so, get them some game experience. Game experience. Do you know how you can fry somebody's brain? Like, say you put a kid in for game experience and they get towed out the frame while they're young. You got to be mentally ready to fight off the demons of knowing you was trash can juice and they took advantage of you. Like, it's two sides to the coin. Yeah, you can put a young dude in. The young dude could get killed. Like, get destroyed, then mentally he ain't never the same no more. Or you could believe in a dude who's put in, like some people put in the work to where you truly believe that they could weather the storm. It's just so many moving parts to just blame one thing, man. I don't know, man. You know, you got people always saying, like, you know, Brandon averaged over 400 yards last year, and he got NFL receivers, and, you know, something ain't working. But they never say that with that 400 yard, that, like, so, and again, this is not a diss to none of the players, but I always say when folks, like somebody's logic, how they don't give you the full picture. So somebody say we had all this offense last year and we got these NFL type receivers and then we can't even score a touchdown. Why you don't point at the same people you are using as a argument to change something? Don't realize that they ain't performing the same. That they aren't performing the same. No matter what the system is still putting them in position to make plays and they're not making the plays. Like, why is it so hard for folks to say that? And it's not a knock. It's just the truth. It don't matter a system. Football is a game of systems. We all perform better under a certain system. And everybody can't run every damn system. Right? The great Peyton Manning, when he went from the Colts to the Broncos, he brought his system because he knew his system would fit him accordingly. When Tom Brady went from the Patriots to the Bucks, he tried to run, you know, the system that was there, and he was like, yo, this system don't work for me. We need to implement some mesh concepts that I ran with the Patriots. They had a come-to-Jesus moment, and they meshed the two worlds. In actuality, they started running more with Tom was running with because Tom is a guy that can. They're so decorated that they can actually coach everything. I guess those are bad examples because they pros. And they basically offensive coordinators on their own, respectfully. Like, respectfully to Bruce Arians, respectfully to the left, where it's like Tom Brady's been around the game so long that he can tell you what protections to attach to certain things. I guess what I'm saying is, yes, Brendan was better in the air raid. That fits his skill set a lot better. There's nobody's denying that. But y'all got to stop acting like Coach Kitchens or Coach Elliott can run the damn air raid. They can't. That's not their system. You also got to figure it's a reason why B.A. came back. What was his draft grade? Maybe the pros say, hey, that was in the air raid. Oh, we seen Taysom Hill do good in that. We seen this quarterback do good in that. They're not NFL quarterbacks, though, because we don't run the air raid in the pros. You need a pro-style offense. So he came back. Lo and behold, we got a pro-style offense. You got to adjust. So it's that old adage, right? It's like when you see these high school teams and they run like this spinner offense or this triple option. It's like, are you preparing your players for the next level or are you just trying to win your current level? Because are you going to selfishly be about you? Or are you going to realize like, yeah, this works here, but ain't nobody going to develop in certain positions to go there. But even saying all of what I just said, if you could sit up here and tell me that even though you don't like this system, has this system provided the opportunities for both units to still perform at a high level? Sit back and think about that, bro. Like, wholeheartedly be honest with yourself. If you go back and look at games of when throws were made and weren't completed because a receiver dropped it, or a receiver got open, or Brendan didn't make the proper throw, even when given time, so we could say, okay, this time the offensive line missed their pass pro. Or we could say, this time Brendan didn't make a good throw. Or we could say, this time the receiver didn't catch the ball. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we can point to all those things, is it the system or guys just not executing at the same rate that they did last season? But when you just start looking at numbers, you lose sight of the true essence of competing in this sport. Like, a lot of times, man, y'all be asking me questions. Y'all be answering them. Why are you asking the question? And then when you ask the question, I give you an answer. Then y'all say, I'm making excuses. Why? Because my answer doesn't fit within what you really wanted me to say. Because I always hear people say, well, I wish Coach was tell us about this. Why? You ain't going to want to hear him. Just like Coach was transparent with y'all, say he was playing not to lose. I know y'all going to kill him for that. Yeah, it's in the soundbite. He admitted, yeah, you know, we were just playing not to lose. We knew it was in field goal range and the overtimes. Y'all going to kill him for that. But he was transparent. But then when a coach don't tell you a lot of things, I wish Coach would have talked about this. For what? You going to get mad at the answer. If the answer don't fit what you already thinking, majority of the time, man, your minds is made up. A lot of times I don't answer a lot of questions because I already know. Sometimes I do, you know, judge and say, I ain't answering that question because I could tell by their tone, even though it's written, I could tell by their tone, they already got their mind made up. Sometimes I throw a filler out there to see if somebody's mind is made up. And I ain't going to tell you my secrets. But a lot of times, y'all be wanting these coaches to talk about certain things, and then if they tell you, you can be, oh, that's just coach talk. Oh, I don't believe them. What are you asking for then? If you got a goddamn, if you a walking lie detector, then why even ask questions? Why don't you use your lie detector x-ray visions to go into their mind and see for yourself what their answer would have been so you don't have to hear it? You can just do up. He lying. But I get it, man. It's emotion. That's all it is. At the end of the day, it's just emotion. Everybody want to see the program do well. When they lose, you get emotional. You point the finger. You say this. You say that. Hindsight is 20/20. Blah, blah, blah. I got a better idea. We should do this. We should do that. It is what it is. That's the beautiful thing about sports. We all right. You hear what I said? The beautiful thing about sports is we are all correct. Why? Because we are all providing our opinion. I'm just saying. So, yeah, man, it's a tough game to watch. You gotta move past this one quick because you got a team coming in that'll put up 100 on you, no matter what. Because if you don't score versus this defense, that North Carolina, if you can't score an offensive touchdown versus this defense, you really trash can juice. Like you in the trash can juice realm. You know what I'm saying? And look, it could always be worse. You could be Miami and have 4 and 5-star guys and not score a touchdown versus a defense with a bunch of 3-star, 2-star guys. I don't know if we got a guy on defense that was a 4-star. So I just want to let Virginia fans know it could be a lot worse. We could be Miami. We could have the number one cornerback just commit to them. And they can't score versus lonely Virginia. 4-star, 5-stars. Salute to all the recruiting agencies and folks who got that job, man. Salute to y'all and what y'all do, the time y'all put in. You feel me? Stars never move me. You still got to play. And that's, let me stop. Good, it is me a great. Be great in everything that you do. Never let nobody tell you can't do what you set your mind out to do, man. 8 games now. We 3-5. Folks want people to get fired, demoted. Where if I wasn't doing my job at 9 to 5, I get it, bro. I really do. You know. What's that period called? That probational period where one little thing you do and they got the grounds to fire you? I get it. Does Coach Kitchens have a probational period that's in his contract or something? Coach Elliott got in his contract or something? Because y'all want to fire these dudes. Yo, we went 2-10 with Bronco, bro. George won 2 games his first year. Nobody's saying that Coach Elliott is going to be just as successful as George or have a 9-win and an 8-win season like Bronco. Nobody's saying that. When people do something like that, they like to put it into context of letting you know is it's not as easy as you think it is just to win games. Just like it's not as easy as you think to perform at a high level one season and then do it again the following year. No matter what people tell you. That's why we praise the greats when they are great. Because they were consistent. Do you know how hard it is to be consistent? Huh? You know how hard it is? Think about when you said you're going to go work out and you got to stay consistent. Meaning you got to go work out this many days every week. You set that goal. How many times do you achieve that goal? New Year's resolution. Are you consistent? Even with your job, are you consistent? Do you consistently show up every single day? And I applaud you if you do. But if you don't, that's what you got to think about. This is essentially a job in front of thousands of people that pay their hard-earned money. You have every right to feel the way that you feel. You have every right to say what you want to say. They got every right to respond to what you said about them, critiquing them at their job. That's the human nature. Like, that's one thing we got to understand too, bro. Like, everybody got a right to say something. You do. I'm laughing at myself because I just thought about that. Like, everybody got the right to say something, but it amazes me how folks feel like somebody ain't got the right to say something back to them. Like, if somebody, like, if I'm walking past them and they be like, F you, ball hawk. And I be like, and I return the energy. You don't got the right to speak to them like that. No, I'm human. Don't put no tag on me. I'm human. I got every right to be human like them. And I got a consequence I got to face just like them. Like, they may not have a consequence because they not. If I'm at my job and I respond back to you, then I got to suffer the consequence. But everybody has a right. You have the right to critique the players and coaches. Why? Because the job they signed up for puts them in that line of fire. You are not wrong for critiquing a coach or a player. We are an hour in. We're about to close this show. I want to close with that. You are not wrong for critiquing a player or coach. I said that. That's coming from me. You are not wrong in how you feel. You are not wrong in your assessment. If you feel like we should be running these plays, guess what? You're right, because that's your opinion. We all sharing opinions. None of us can. I couldn't do coach kitchen job. I couldn't do. First of all, I don't even want no damn coaching job at college. I'd be damn. I couldn't take it. I tell folks, I couldn't take folks I don't know telling me what I should have done after the fact. Because I'm one of them people. I'm one of them people telling coach, hey, yo, coach, I done ran it back 20 times. You should have did this. He probably like, duh. I'm laughing, man, because it's like full circle. Like, I know I'm looking at myself like, damn, you a hypocrite. But hey, so what? Everybody hypocrites. It's fun being a hypocrite. It's fun to rant. It's fun to fuss at people. That's why we do it. It's a sport. Right? It ain't fun to lose. It ain't fun to go through a process of building a winning culture. That's not fun. Because it takes time. And guess what? We hate when things take time. We hate being patient. If I run today and I eat well today and I run and I eat well tomorrow, I want to get on the scale and see that I'm lighter than I was two days ago. If I work out for 2 weeks straight, I want to say, man, I better lost 3 pounds. If I lose 1 pound, I'm pissed. Oh, I got to change something. This ain't working. No, it's going to take time. Man, I studied for 2 hours. I still can't get it. Bruh, it's going to take time. You got to embrace the work, not the reward. Too many times, man, we focus on a reward so much. It's work. They working. It ain't the outcome you want, but you got to keep putting in that work. Either you're going to work to just be the best you, or you just working to have the best rewards and the best stats. Because if you ain't working to be the best you, you ain't going to be able to sustain that best reward and that best stat. You not. That's a fact. Again, what happened last year was last year. All things wasn't the same on offense. You win in the trenches, man. Every coach will tell you that you win in the trenches. Why are we so much better on defense this year? Look at the trenches. That's not a knock on the guys on the back end, because they playing well as well. It's not a knock on Nick Jackson and Jay Jackson and Ahern. But look at this front four or front three compared to last year's. You flip to the offensive side. Look at the front five compared to this front five versus last year's front five. It's not a knock on nobody. It's a luxury, bro. It's peace of mind. Put things at ease. But even with that being said, who's up front? It's not going to dictate if somebody catch or drop a ball. Now, who's up front can dictate if a pass is accurate or not accurate, because the footwork and the mechanics BA utilizes from you know, throw to throw shows that. And I don't know his mental. But yeah, everybody got to get better. You 3-5, everybody got to get better. You do. And if you was 5-3, you still got to get better. Regardless, dog, you got to get better. You lost. It's going to be a lot of red zone drills this week. It's going to be a lot of heisha.
And for the folks saying, yo, we need to go in the center more, I want to let y'all know, y'all remember the Louisville game? When we snapped the ball before they was ready and we was under center and we did a quarterback sneak and still got blown up. Sometimes even when we think we can just be simple, don't mean the mindset going to change. That's what's got to change. Y'all got to have a mindset, man, that y'all going to F somebody up, bro. For real. You got to get pissed off. Like, you got to get nasty, man. Y'all too nice. Respectfully. I ain't never played linebacker, but I could just look at some guys that are like, yeah, he too nice. Like, get nasty, man. Be habitual line steppers. Get right there to that line. Right there. We need some steppers, man. I hate to take it to this, you know, that street lingo with y'all, but you're either going to be a stepper or you're going to be a mark. You don't want to be a mark. You better be a stepper. Right now, we being some marks. Be a stepper. Good is the enemy of great. Be great in everything that you do. Never let nobody tell you you can't do what you set your mind out to do, man. Nobody can tell you what you set your mind out to do. You control your destiny. People are going to doubt you. People want to change and get somebody else the other chance. And sometimes you might be the other chance person. You like, yeah, give me a chance. Go take it. And don't look back. Make sure you go to AmonHawkins.com. If you want to ask me any questions, go to the contact us box at the bottom. It directly emails me and I email you right back. Salute to everybody that's been supporting from day one. If you're a new listener, hopefully you appreciated what you listened to and you be back. And I holler at y'all. Salute to all the message boards out there. Salute to all the publications out there that cover UVA sports. Salute to all the fans and the people that support the squad. And even the people, like, if you can't come to the games, man, if you're at home, if you're in the Twitter spaces, like, regardless, man, you support the best way that you can support. It's appreciated. Never let nobody tell you that the way you support isn't appreciated. You feel what I'm saying? Like, everybody, in a perfect world, everybody would want the stadium to be sold out, but we understand you can't count nobody's pockets. We got to stop counting people's pockets, man. It costs money to come to games, and if people spend their money, they want to make sure that it's fulfilling. And the best way to be fulfilled is that you win. So that's why you see folks coming at players and coaches, because they spending their hard-earned money. Salute to y'all. For real. I understand it. I get it. At first, I didn't get it. I used to be like, man, shut up. Like, Petty Hawk would come out. But I get it, man. Salute, respect, much love, Ball Hawk. We out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.